Lecture topic, protect your gaze.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم العينان تزنيان وزناهما النظر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, while much has been said and done to counter depression, and ironically we know that the biggest victims to depression are the affluent, are the wealthy, but be it as it may, a global problem is depression in which we live. As Muslims, we need to constantly remind ourselves that the greatest contributing factor to depression is sin. The Prophet ﷺ said it in the hadith of Tirmidhi, As-sidqu tamanina. Truthfulness provides happiness, comfort and inner pleasure. And just not truthfulness, but piety in its entirety and truthfulness in particular. In the same breath and in the same vein, the Prophet ﷺ says, وَالْكِذْبُ رِيبًا. The utterance of a lie creates uneasiness, restlessness, and internal depression. Again, just not the utterance of a lie, but sin in its entirety and lies in particular. So the temperament of the obedience of Allah is happiness, and the temperament and the nature of the disobedience of Allah is restlessness. But that's not all. The Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, وَالصِّدْقُ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. Truthfulness leads a person to piety. And وَالْكِذْبُ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. The utterance of a lie provokes a person to sin, to transgression, to violation. That is why Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi has written something very beautiful. He said, the biggest benefit of good, apart from the reward and the virtue and the benefit, but the biggest instant benefit of good is that Allah will give you the ability to do another good. And he said the biggest setback of sin is that when you commit one, you'll be provoked onto a second one. Good begets good, evil begets evil. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi used to say, مَا أَعَزَّتِ الْعِبَادُ نَفْسَهَا بِمِثْلِ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The human race cannot dignify their position with anything more than obedience to Allah. And they cannot disgrace themselves with anything more than disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. Now, while we all know that every sin is a contributing factor to depression, I want to, in my brief time, single out one particular sin, which unfortunately has become the order of the day, has gripped the young and old, the learned and the layman, the religious and the irreligious, and that is the abuse of sight. When we look at the problem of the abuse of sight and how provocative women have become, how susceptible man has become, and how immoral society has become. When we're talking of clubbing and pubbing, Allah forbid, we say, what's going to happen to our children? When we talk of compulsive gambling, we say, what's going to happen to the future generation of tomorrow? But when it comes to the abuse of sight, wallah, my question is, what is going to happen to us and what is happening to us? Children are secondary and I don't trivialize it. Society has become so sick. There was a program on one of the radio stations in this week where there is an organization that identifies themselves as honey cheaters or honey trappers rather. Where if you, in inverted commas, employ their skills to trap your partner in some form of seduction, you employ their skills, pay them an exorbitant amount, and then whatever you allege, they seduce the partner concerned and they report back to you. Can we imagine what has happened to the fabric of our society? Now when you look at Sahaba and the golden era of Nabuwat, and a man like Abu Huraira who narrated 5,374 ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet passionately he used to make the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an azni wa asriq. Oh Allah, I constantly, perpetually seek your divine protection against fornication and theft. So someone said, oh Abu Huraira, have I heard this correct? Sahibta Rasulallah, You've sat in the company of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you've narrated 5,000 ahadith. وَأَنْتَ تَخَافُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ مِنَ الزِّنَا وَالصَّرَقَ. Yet you fear fornication for yourself, you fear theft for yourself. He said, كَيْفَ آمُنُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَإِبْلِيسُ حَيٌّ. How can I sigh with relief when the devil is alive and kicking? How can I sigh with relief when the... And you're talking of an era of morality and integrity. Sa'id ibn Musayyab rahimahumullah, whose knowledge was so profound, that the historians have written, kana yufti was sahabatu ahya, that he used to issue verdicts even in the presence of sahaba, yet he was not a sahabi. Such was the caliber of his knowledge. And for your information, he was married to the daughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he was the son-in-law of the greatest scholar of hadith. وَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ وُسْعِهِ أَنْ يَتَزَوَّجْ بِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ نِسَاءِ قُرَيْشِ فَآثَرَ بِنْتَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ. Many women wanted to get married to him, but he chose to get married to the daughter of Abu Huraira because of a bond to a sahabi who had so much hadith. So he said, that's why I want to get married to this girl. He used to say, مَا آيَسَ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ إِلَّا أَتَاهُ مِنْ قِبَلِ النِّسَاءِ. Whenever the devil failed to mislead a man, his last arrow with which he struck was woman. And when he struck with that, he succeeded. وَإِنَّ أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِ فِتْنَةَ النِّسَاءِ. And the greatest fear with which I live and I die is that Allah must save me from becoming a victim to that of zina and fornication. The poet in Arabic said it so beautifully, مِنْ فِتْنَةِ النِّسْوَانِ كَمْ يَعْصِ الْفَتَى أَمْرَ الْإِلَهِ بِطَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَقَابِلٌ لَوْلَاهُنَّ لَمْ يَقْتُلْ أَخَاهُ وَلَمَا رَضَى بِالذُّلِّ وَالْعِصْيَانِ وَبِهِنَّ صَارَ لِإِبْنِ يَعْقُوبَ يُوسُفُ فِيمَا حَكَاهُ اللَّهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَمَجْنُونُ لَيْلَى جُنَّ مِنْ حُبِّ النِّسَاءِ كُلُّ الْأَذَى يَأْتِي مِنَ النِّسْوَانِ كُنْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِمَعْزَلٍ إِنَّ النِّسَاءَ حَبَائِلُ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, because of this temptation of women, how many youth are there who have forsaken their Allah and abandoned the house of Allah and have ended up in places of sin and vice? And it is because of this seductive nature of women that the eldest son of Adam, Qabil, claimed the life of his brother, Habil, marking the first unjust murder on the planet Earth. وَبِهِنَّ صَارَ لِإِبْنِ يَعْقُوبَ يُوسُفَ فِي مَا حَكَاهُ اللَّهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. And it is regarding the seductive nature of women and the challenge that comes thereon that the Quran draws the tale of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, and the man Majnu, who we all know became infatuated before because of one woman. The poet goes on to say, كُنْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِمَعْزَلٍ. Have your precautions in place, lest you forsake your faith because of this temptation. Lest you forsake your faith because of this temptation. That is why under the commentary of this ayah, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah says, man has been created weak. The scholars of tafsir have explored what is the weakness of man. Is it his physical? Is it his mental? And there's consensus of the scholars, أَنْ مُخَالَفَةِ هَوَاهُ. His weakness is that he cannot oppose his ego. In English, they say something very beautifully. Every time we succumb to the weakness within us, we get temporary pleasure, but the vice gets a tighter grip around us. Every time we succumb, so Allah forbid, every time that youngster goes on the net, every time he surfs the net, every time he gets involved in that mixing, every time he perpetrates that crime, there's temporary relief, but ultimately the vice gets a tighter grip around him. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi has made mention on the strength of one sahabi. He says there are six major harms in zina. Iyyakum wa zina fa inna fihi sitta khisal. There are six evils to it. Number one, nuqsanur rizqi. There will be a blow in your sustenance. We are living in an era which economists predict as the age of turbulence. And it's becoming a global trend. Hikes in fuel, in food prices soaring, has just become the norm of the times in which we live. The first thing that will happen to a man, there will be a blow in his sustenance. And what is defined as a blow in his sustenance? تَذْهَبُ الْبَرَكَةِ. There will be no blessings in his income. Now again, just to set the record correctly, what's the definition of blessings in your income? الْمَنَافِعُ الْكَثِيرَةِ بِأَسْبَابِ الْقَلِيلَةِ. Maximum benefit with minimum provisions. This is the definition of barakat. To have maximum benefit with maximum provisions, that's basic maths, and that was never the definition of barakat. There was one sahabi who the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. فَكَانَ لَوْ اِشْتَرَى تُرَابًا لَرَّبِحَ فِيهِ. Sahaba said, Allah blessed his hand so much, when he picked up sand also, he made money out of it. So the first blow of zina is, now it's becoming a global trend. Let's look into our own actions. And this is the nature of a believer. Allah speaks of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam in the Quran, that when he examined his whole army, and for whatever strange reason, he could not find the bird that was tasked to locate the water. So the Quran makes mention of him assessing himself. مَالِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدْ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. He said, what's wrong with me? Is there a weakness in my vision that I can't see the bird? Or is it that the bird is not present? The scholars say this is the nature of the pious. إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. When they fail to accomplish their aspirations and their objectives, they examine their actions first. So before going elsewhere, the first setback to zina is, there will be a blow to sustenance in general, which has become the problem of the international world. Number two, يَسِيرُ مَحْرُومًا عَنِ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Such a person will become devoid and deprived of all forms of happiness and barakat. So there will be no ability within him to do good. And number three, يَسِيرُ بَغِيظًا فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. He will become detested by the pious and the angels. The angels and the pious will have no time for him. That is in as far as this world is concerned. And the three in Akhirah, غَضَبُ الرَّبِّ, the anger of Allah, شِدَّةُ الْحِسَابِ, severity in accountability, and number three, دُخُول فِي النَّارِ, ultimate entry into hell. The Quran says, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Those who unfortunately perpetrate the crime of zina, they will be hurled into a valley of hell, which is designated for the adulterer and the adulteress, Allah save one and all. There is a valley in hell designated. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ista'affa yu'iffuhu Allah." You know, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said it very beautifully. "Kullu al-hawadith mabda'uha min al-nadri." The root cause of every evil is the abuse of sight. And the scholars write that the worst harm of this sin is that one will never be saturated. Well, there is sin in its entirety. There's never enough to it. Because there's never logic to sin. There is never logic to sin. Imam Shafi says, كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظْرِ. The root cause of every evil is the abuse of sight. وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغِرِ الشَّرَرِ. And it takes a spark to ignite a fire. وَتَجَنَّبُوا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِمُسْلِمٍ. And abstain from that, which is not in harmony with the profile of a believer. إِنَّ الزِّنَا دَيْنٌ فَإِنْ أَقْرَضْتَهُ كَانَ الْوَفَى مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ فَعْلَمِي. He goes on to say, remember, zina is a liability and it's a debt. If you fornicate with any other woman, then you have by your own action opened up the honor of your daughter and your woman to other men. He said, if you've done it elsewhere, it bounces back on your own house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ista'affa yu'iffuhu Allah." The one who wishes to remain chaste, Allah will divinely preserve his chastity. We learned the famous incident, the honorable consort of Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sara alayhi salam, when she came before the tyrant king who had the evil practice of abducting a woman and satisfying himself. She made dua to Allah and she said, "Oh Allah, I have displayed loyalty to my husband in this relation. أَحْسَنْتُ فَرْجِي إِلَّا عَلَى زَوْجِي. I've given access to no man but my husband. فَلَا تُسَلِّتْ عَلَيَّ هَذَا الْكَافِرِ. Allah, I intercede before you. Through the fidelity and the loyalty I have displayed in this marriage to my husband, let not this tyrant lay his hands on me." As he advanced, his entire hand became paralyzed. In Urdu, they say it very beautifully, عَدَمِ قَصْدِ نَزَرْ كَافِي نَهِي هَيْ. قَصْدِ عَدَمِ نَزَرْ ضَرُورِ هَيْ. It's a very technical phrase, which means it's insufficient to say, "I did not intend to look." One has to intend not to look. So I just came out of the house, I wasn't conscious. No, I have to be conscious. When the Prophet ﷺ left his house, what was his dua? اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. Allah, I ask thy protection from misleading or being misled. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل. أو أظلم أو أظلم. Allah, let me not oppress and let me not be the victim of oppression. Let me not display ignorance and let me not suffer the ignorance of others. This was the dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read. Now we know the famous hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, the glad tidings, and that's the really thing I wanted to mention. That if a person, Allah favor one and all with this great quality, if a person is favored with the quality of dropping his gaze and modesty, then the hadith of Kanzul Ummal, Allah Jalla wa Ala himself says, "An-nadhru sahmun min sihami iblis," that the poisonous arrow or the evil glance is the poisonous arrow of the devil. Man tarakaha makhafati, whoever will drop his gaze out of modesty, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi. Allah promises to give him such faith that he will enjoy true pleasure. The word yajidu in Arabic tells us that there will be some form of physical encounter, experience, pleasure that he will experience. Today, unfortunately, we know, and you know, it's absolutely appalling to understand the extent of the indulgence of our youth in the fitna of mixit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the hands make zina. This has become such a common crime that a person, Allah forbid, can be sitting here in the house of Allah and make zina with his hands. And Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has written, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ قَلْبًا لَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. When iman enters, it will never leave the heart of such a person. So he concludes on the note, فَفِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ, that it's quite evident from this hadith that if a person can preserve his gaze, Allah will preserve his faith and he will die as a believer. Now imagine this privilege. Just as there is this fake temporary pleasure in abusing your sight, may Allah introduce us to that divine true pleasure in dropping your gaze. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that Allah has given me such pleasure in obeying him. And I mean, you read this, it makes your hair stand. He says, Sahari li tanqih al ulumi aladhu li min wasli ghaniyatin wa tibi inaqi wa sariru aqlami ala safhatiha ahla min al dawkai wal ushaqi وألذ من نقر الفتاة لدفها نقري لألقي الرمل عن أوراقي. He says, wallah, standing awake by night and studying hadith is more comforting to me than embracing a woman who's naturally attractive. Now this is divine pleasure. سهري لتنقيح العلوم ألذ لي من وصل غانية وطيب عناقي وَسَرِيرُ أَقْلَامِ عَلَىٰ صَفْحَاتِهَا. And then to record hadith, and the sound of my pen with which I record hadith is more comforting to my soul than the seductive voice of young girls and all the musical instruments. وَأَلَذُّ مِن نَقْرِ الْفَتَاةِ لِدُفِّهَا نَقْرِي لِأُلْقِ الرَّمَلَ عَنْ أَوْرَاقِي. He says, you sit in the club and the pub and let the young woman dance for you, I will turn the pages of Quran and I swear by Allah, I'm in better pleasure than you are. وَتَمَايُلِي طَرَبًا لِحَلِّ عَوِيصَةٍ فِي الدَّرْسِ أَشْهَى مِن مُدَامَّةِ سَاقِي. And when I'm studying Quran and I enjoy understanding the meaning of the Quran, I sway with joy. And I swear by Allah, my joy on understanding Quran is more better to me than the most palatables of wine. Then he says, وَأَبِيتُ سَهْرَانَ الدُّجَى وَتَبِيتُهُ نَوْمًا. I spend my night speaking to Allah, you spend your night roaming the streets. وَتَبْغِي بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لِحَاقِي. And then you're optimistic that we walk together in Jannah, you're dreaming. وَأَبِيتُ سَهْرَانَ الدُّجَى وَتَبِيتُهُ نَوْمًا. We all are very happy to latch on to the damsels of paradise, and rightfully so. But do we deserve that? Do we fit the description? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Allah has created one woman in paradise. Her name is Laiba. Jami'ul huri ushaqul laha. Allah has favored her with such beauty, leave alone the men, the woman of Jannah infatuated over her. She has such beauty, the hadith of Bukhari, nasifuha ala ra'siha khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. The scarf on her head has more attraction than the entire beauty of this world. The riwayat of Targhib, law anna bananan min bananiha bada. If a fingertip of hers has to be exposed in this world, it will outshine the sun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, basaqat basqatan fi sab'ati abhur. If she spits into the water, it will be sweeter than honey. Man kana yuridu an yakuna lahu mithli falyamal bi rida'i rabbi. It is engraved above her eyes. Anybody seeking me, tell him my dowry is please my Allah and come and I'm yours. Now I want to conclude on this note. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the sweetness of iman. How many of us, Allah guide one and all, what percentage of the ummah is obeying Allah, and those that are obeying, how many of us cherish what we do? How many of us enjoy, derive pleasure in it? And if you study the hadith, it is exclusively reserved in this action. That is, if I bring modesty to my gaze, to the point that I persevere, وَلَوْ بِتَكَلُّفٍ شَدِيدٍ يَحْتَمِلُ زُهُوقَ الرُّوحِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَيُّورٌ يَشْتَدُّ غَيْرَتَهُ عَنِ النَّظْرِ إِلَى الْحَرَامِ فَالْحَذْرُ كُلَّ الْحَذْرِ مِنْ أَنْ يُغِيظَ الْمَحْبُوبَ الْأَكْبَرِ. Allah is very modest. And you anger him when you cast a nasty glance and a lustful gaze at anything that he has made forbidden. So beware that you do not anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to give you a glimpse of the sweetness of iman when it enters the heart. Allah make us amongst those people that can enjoy this physical pleasure and that spiritual pleasure. During the reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, I want to mention two incidents. The first incident comes in Ibn Kathir. There was a youngster, kana yulazimu al-masjid. He used to frequent the masjid. And after Isha, it was his practice to go and visit his father. This was his practice daily. So while he was going to visit his father, on the way, there was a young, beautiful girl that lived there. And somehow or the other, the woman communicated with him through eye contact, body language, or whatever it is, she made some contact with him. As a human, one day he fell prey to the temptation. Ibn Kathir has mentioned this here, under the commentary of the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبَصِّرُونَ. So nonetheless, she invited him, and he responded. And as he entered the house, تَذَكَّرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, there was a flash in his mind of the verse of the Qur'an. What was the verse? This verse of the Qur'an, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Verily those who fear Allah, whenever perchance they commit a crime, then immediately they abandon the wrong and they turn to Allah. The verse flashed through his mind and he collapsed in the house of that girl. Now imagine the consciousness of Allah of this young boy, that he is in front of evil and he has a flash of a verse. Our condition, Allah forbid, is we in front of Allah performing salah and we have a flash of a woman. The direct opposite. Anyway, he tried to stabilize the youngster. After they stabilized him, he was then taken to his dad in the night. When he got home, his father asked him, وَأَيَّ آيَةٍ قَرَأْتَ يَا بُنَيَّ. Oh my son, you became so emotional, hysterical, you passed out. What happened to you? What verse did you read? He said, oh my dad, I was tempted to this woman and I got that close to her and this ayah just crossed my mind. And when this ayah crossed, this is the ayah. Having said that, he read the ayah and he fell. But this time he fell never to be revived. He passed away. Ghusl was given to this young boy. Today's youngster doesn't have that price. But perhaps if his hand has a crave and an itch towards that phone, or a crave towards that computer, or a crave to that immoral magazine, or an inclination towards some activity of sin, and he resists the temptation from that club and that woman, then look at what Allah gave this young man. Ghusl and kafan was given to him, and then he was lowered into the grave. In the morning, as the routine, Umar ibn Khattab was told that, you know what, last night we had a tragedy, a youngster, this is the circumstances around which he passed away. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Dulluni ala qabri, he take me to the grave. When he came to the grave of this young boy who passed away in his prime around these circumstances, he said, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, O the dweller of this grave, I have been told in the condition in which you've passed away. I've just come to give you some consolation and good news. The Quran says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتًا. Allah says, those who die in his fear, for them they are dual paradise. Those around mentioned, Ibn Kathir has recorded this, فَأَجَابَ الْفَتَى مِنْ دَاخِلِ الْقَبْرِ. The youngster spoke from his grave. And a man like Ibn Kathir, who is notorious in refuting things that are unauthentic, a man like him records it. The youngster spoke from the grave and said, Umar, You are promising me that Allah will give me. I'm telling you, I have it. I have it. Now this is what Allah has kept, and this is the sweetness of Iman. It was during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab also that he dispatched a campaign towards Rome. And amongst this group, فِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ عَبْدُ ibn Khuzafa, a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Khuzafa radiallahu anhu. فَأَسِرَهُ الرُّومُ, the Roman army intercepted him. وَذَهَبُوا بِهِ مُكْبَلًا فِي قُيُودِهِ إِلَى مَلِكِهِمْ, and they shackled him and then they took him to the king. And they said, هذا الرجل من أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, this man is from the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. نزل الملك عن عرشه, the king descends from his throne. تقدم في بطن, he gradually advances towards Abdullah ibn Huzafa رضي الله عنه. He says, I've got a proposal to put before you. هل لك أن تتنصر وأشركك في ملكي وسلطاني, I am ready to negotiate half my empire, my kingdom, my dominion, in condition you abandon your faith. When you look at the temptations that were put to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah forbid, the smile of one woman is enough for us to lose our piety. And when the delegation of the disbelievers came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, in kana innama bikal ba'a fakhtar ayya nisa'i quraish shi'ta falnuzawwijka ashra. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have a crave towards women, we line up the 10 most beautiful women of Quraysh. You have the choice to look at each one of them or have every one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not move or incline in any way. He openly, vehemently opposed it. And unfortunately, we understand our weakness. But when the sweetness of Iman comes, it's a different thing altogether. He says, I'm ready to give you half my kingdom. We got a female rep, now we don't want to offend her, so we have to give an order. This is the marketing world. I'm ready to give you half my kingdom, abandon your faith. Abdullah ibn Huzafa said, لو أعطيتني جميع ما تملك وجميع ما ملكته العرب على أن أرجع من دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم طرفة عين ما فعلته. If you give me not half your empire, your entire empire, and give me everything that the entire Arab world owns with all its treasures, and ask of me to forsake my teachings or abandon my modesty for the duration of the wink of an eye, I promise you it's non-negotiable, you won't get it from me. He said, إذن أقتلك, then I'll behead you. He said, أنت وذا, well then you must do what you have to do. I told you what I'm going to do. فأمر, he said, سلب, hang him up. So he was hung. ثم قال للرمات, he said, line the arches up. ارموه قريبا من يديه ورجليه, shower the arrows on his legs and on his hands. فأمطر الرمات عبد الله ابن حزافة بالسهام. So the arrows were showered upon Abdullah, the hadith comes in Kanzul Ummal, was showered on his legs and on his hands. And then the king says, now with all the difficulty, are you ready to negotiate and abandon your faith? He said, مَا زَادَهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا, the more you're opposing me, the more I'm experiencing pleasure. Now Allah, like someone said it, أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَشَدُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ. Someone said that the pleasure the pious derive in dropping their gaze, that spiritual ecstasy is far greater than the fake ecstasy the fake lovers get in staring at strange women. But you have tried the fake love, you haven't tried the original, so how can we relate to it? Allah grant it to me, Allah grant it to you. Why it has become more challenging, but at the same time the sweetness of Iman has been distributed wholesale. Go to any airport, it's been distributed. Go to any public place, Iman's sweetness has been distributed. Provided obviously we apply the precautions. So then the king said, okay, drop him down. ثُمَّ دَعَى بِقِدْرٍ, he brought a pot. صَبَّ فِيهَا زَيْدٍ, he threw inside boiling oil. دَعَى بِأَسِيرَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, he said, bring two Muslim prisoners. فَأَمَرَ بِأَحَدِهِمَا فَأُلْقِيَ, and he said, now throw one of them inside. He was dropped inside to this massive boulder and pot. وَظَلَّ يَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهَا حَتَّى ذَابَ لَحْمُهُ وَبَانَتْ عِظَامُهُ, and Abdullah ibn Huzafa is standing and literally seeing his companion been roasted inside. Literally seeing his companion been roasted. So the king said, well, now perhaps you have changed your mind. فَكَانَ أَشَدَّ إِبَاءً مِّن قَبْلُ, he now negated it more vehemently than previously. The king said, well, there's no way we're going to end up with this man, drop him inside also. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ الْجُنُودُ بِهِ, as they grip him and they shackle him and they hurl him, baka, he starts crying. So the king said, okay, yo, we've made a breakthrough. ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ خَافْ, perhaps he's afraid. He said, bring him back. The king says, I assume your tears indicate fear and now you also want to reconsider the negotiation. He says, no, my fear is, or rather my tears are, that I can only present one life. I wish I had multiple lives and I could present one after the other for Allah. فَهَزَّ الْمَلِكُ رَأْسَهُ إِعْجَابًا مِّنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلَ الَّذِي إِحْتَقَرَ الْمَوْتِ. The king says, I've never met a human like this who is so passionate about his faith and so trivial about the world. He says, okay, let me make another option with you. هَلَّكَ أَن تُقَبِّلَ رَأْسِي وَأُخَلِّي عَنْكَ. Come and kiss me on my forehead and I will release you. So Abdullah ibn Huzafa said, تُخَلِّي عَنِّي وَعَنْ جَمِيعِ أُسَارَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. If I kiss you, are you ready to release me and all the Muslim captives? He said, I will release all the Muslim captives. Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, in my heart, I consulted with my Allah. Allah, do I kiss this infidel and secure the release of all the Muslims, or should I not kiss him? And I had this inner feeling that I should go for it because it will earn the freedom of all the Muslims. So I went towards him and I kissed him. I kissed him on his forehead to make him happy, to inflate his ego. That's all he wanted. Having done that, he released me and he released all the captives and he said, you can go. I took all the captives and I came back to Umar ibn Khattab. And I narrated the entire thing to Umar ibn Khattab. تَهَلَّلَ وَجْهُ عُمَرْ تَهَلَّلَ وَجْهُ عُمَرْ وَانْشَرَحَ صَدْرَهُ. Umar became ecstatic. He became elated. His face was radiant. He said that حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَن يُقَبِّلَ رَأْسَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ابْنِ حُزَافَةَ. Because he did not kiss the wrong woman and he did what he did for the pleasure of Allah, I instruct every Muslim to come and now kiss Abdullah ibn Huzafa, and I'm going to kiss him first. So Abdullah ibn Huzafa was brought forward. Umar ibn Khattab kissed him. The Sahaba lined up. My message to you, my young brother, is don't kiss that haram woman and protect your gaze. Allah will give you the kisses of the malaika and the kisses of the pious. Allah make us amongst those fortunate people who preserve our faith, live a life of loyalty, and enjoy that divine feeling that we cleanse our eyes so that we can enjoy the closeness of our Creator. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.